Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Victory Monday. It's been a hot minute since we've been able to say that. Good to be back. Regular scheduled programming, big Packers victory. Now turning our attention to a big showdown with the Minnesota Vikings, which will begin a three-week stretch of divisional games for the green and gold that, you got to think, be a pretty important swing here regarding their season, where it's headed, where it might end up. Big, big stretch upcoming for your Green Bay Packers. But right now, I just want to focus on the job that Jordan Love did yesterday. My goodness, my gracious, my word. What a performance. And I know last night after the game, I talked about it, having been there, after watching it live. But going back and looking at the tape, it's even more incredible to think about some of these plays that Jordan made. Again, with guys sometimes in his lap, things going wrong down the field. Drops, obviously, a problem throughout the contest. Didn't matter to Jordan Love. On to the next. Next play, he's delivering dimes all over the field, overcoming all of the obstacles in front of him, both presented by the defense and sometimes his own teammates. Just, I can't say enough about how special that performance was. And I know it's not huge numbers, not something that they're going to talk about in the NFL kind of awards that they give out every week, you know, player of the week nonsense from NFL headquarters here in New York. It's not something that's going to lead any kind of big national shows or anything. But I'm telling you, tucked away in that 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff that not a ton of people outside of probably these two fan bases paid attention to, was a phenomenal quarterback performance by Jordan Love. You talk about special performances and a special player and a guy becoming what you'd hoped he'd be. I mean, because that, you know, when they drafted Jordan Love, certainly you hoped he'd be special in some regard. You never expect him to be his predecessor or any of the guys who came before him, but you hope that there's something to his game that he can refine and make into his own legacy, obviously, his own kind of special place in the Packers firmament. Now, he's got a ways to go still. I'm not saying that Jordan Love's arrived. He's certainly playing better. I think this is the best ball he's played in a Packers uniform, and he can continue and probably will continue to get better, and that should scare the hell out of the rest of the NFL. But man, feeling pretty damn good about the fact that Jordan Love is the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. I know a lot of folks were down on him coming out of that after that Eagles game on Monday night. Then you turn around and look at the high-flying offense from the Detroit Lions and their quarterback, who, no joke, looked phenomenal over the course of the last couple weeks. And then you see him hit that buzzsaw that is the Eagles defense. Suddenly Jordan's performance doesn't look so terrible. It's no doubt that there are things that he can improve upon and will continue to learn from, but I am so absolutely thrilled that Jordan Love is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and yesterday's performance sealed the deal for me. You know, obviously I've been a big fan and a cheerleader, so to speak, since he got drafted, really hoping he'd turn out well, so to speak, as a quarterback prospect, but man, it's insane to me how well he played yesterday. Very, very excited to see what the remainder of the season holds and the remainder of his time in Green Bay holds. Because, man, still a ways to go, but they got a pretty damn good quarterback yet again. That just doesn't happen. Yet it seemingly happened in Green Bay. Just nuts, man. How y'all doing? Good to see everybody chiming in the comments section. I see you on Culture Barbarian. We got Dom Vito in the house. Before I get to your questions and comments, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Whether you're scoring touchdowns or cheering from the sidelines, ThetaCare is your most valuable partner in health. From injury prevention to recovery, they've got your back and your knees and your shoulders too. Check out ThetaCare.org or the link in the description of this video for more information. All right, folks, what's on your mind? Let's get to it. I'm Culture Barbarian. How you doing, buddy? Through 9/10 of that game, my Eeyore level was Buford T. Justice. These bitches couldn't close an umbrella. Wow. That's hyper niche right there, but I like where your head's at. I get why you were thinking that. But then, hey, they closed the deal. Not too shabby, right? Don Vito, how are you, buddy? I don't want to hear any more fans badmouth Love. I'm starting to become more and more convinced it's not strictly football related. Well, you know, I obviously know what you're referring to. And possibly in some quarters, that may be an issue. But I think for the vast majority of folks, they don't even think about it. I honestly believe that. S. Kitts, Craven, how you doing, buddy? I can never understand what Bill Huber says. Oh, man. You know, my friends at Live from Stadium Drive did a bit about this years ago. That was very funny. And look, I know Bill has been, you know, has expressed his, you know, desire to be better in this regard. And sometimes in the moment, he just gets kind of caught up and starts talking real fast and people have trouble understanding him sometimes. But I do think Bill is great at what he does. And look, we've all got our little idiosyncratic things that probably folks talk about me in certain light, about the way I do certain things. And I get it, man. We're all under this microscope because we're covering the Green Bay Packers, right? I just go back to what I always say when it comes to anything related to content around the team. It's not about us. It's not about Bill asking questions. It's not about me even, you know, doing a watch party with Corey. You know, those are all things to connect with fans and learn maybe a bit about the team through other avenues. But ultimately, it's about the guys in the field. It's about the team itself. Everything else is just extracurricular, really, you know? So, yeah, does the Bill get, you know, hard to understand at times? Yeah, but he's serving a valuable purpose and he's doing great work. And that's all that really matters. What else we got here, folks? S. Kitts, what's going on, man? What should I order at Kroll's? Last time I went, I got the fried chicken, but you tell me. I did dip the cheese curds in my milkshake, which was amazing. Got to admit, I haven't done the cheese curds in the milkshake bit, but that sounds lovely. I always get the same thing, and some people like it, some people don't. But for me, I have the exact same order every time I go. It's a Butterburger with everything on it, a order of cheese curds mixed, and a spotted cow. Unless it's lunchtime during training camp, then I get the seltzer water. But that's my go-to order each and every time. Your mileage may vary. H. Carrington, what's going on, man? Remember Love struggled 2 years ago and the MetLife wins? Shows just how far he's come. Also, hope people finally start appreciating Christian Watson. I'm telling you. It's like you're reading my mind. When I walked out my front door yesterday morning to go get the rental car that I took to the stadium, the first thing as I opened the door was this huge gust of wind. And the very first thing I thought was, oh God, oh no, we're going to be back at that point where we were that night when the Packers were battling Tommy DeVito and Love did indeed struggle early in that game with the wind and some of the passes getting basically blown off course, right? Man, he cut through all that shit yesterday. I didn't see one errant throw. It was very noticeable. I'm glad you remembered that. And yeah, Christian Watson, I think they'll start to. He keeps doing what he's doing, you know, and obviously getting more opportunities. I think it helps. They were throwing the ball down the field a little bit more yesterday. But yeah, I mean, real ones know. Christian's a unicorn. He's incredibly special, incredibly impressive. Fans can get on him for the number of times he's been hurt. Sometimes he has a drop. But, man, he is a special fucking football player. We're very, very, very lucky to have him as a member of the Green Bay Packers, without question. Ed, how are you, man? Is it me or is we ain't a football team, a playoff team? Lately, I have some doubt. Nothing to do with J-Love. I don't want to come off as way too flippant, but I am going to be a bit flippant, and I'm going to say who gives a shit on November 17th? Do the playoffs start today? Did they announce the seeding? Did they cancel the rest of the season? No? All right. Then it doesn't fucking matter at all. All that matters is beating the Vikings on Sunday. That's it. That's all that matters. There were Lions fans laughing at the fact that the Packers were in third place like 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. Last week, maybe, after the Eagles game. I don't even know because I don't pay attention. But then now you turn around. Oh, look. Come up, wake up this morning, Monday morning. Lions are in third place. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, this next stretch, like I said at the top, this three-game stretch here coming up, pretty important. These games matter, no doubt about it. But are they a playoff team? Or are they not a playoff? Who cares right now? All that matters is A, winning the game, then B, improving over that most recent win. Everything else will take care of itself. And again, this, I know it's flippant, and I know it's just how I've kind of arrived at dealing with any of this, because, man, I pointed this out the other day. They were 3-6 coming off a week 10 loss to Pittsburgh in 2023. They end up in the divisional round. And I'm not saying that they're going to repeat that or that's the way they're it's always going to go. Obviously not. The point being, you have no idea how things are going to play out or how the team is going to improve or, yes, maybe backslide. We don't know. We just don't know. So we can't control it. We don't know what their outcome is going to be. So why worry about it? All that matters is beating the Vikings. That's it. That's it. I mean, look, if it makes you feel better, you should worry about it. I don't know how that works. I don't want to live inside that head, but if that's what you got to do, you got to do it. But, man, who's to say they can't learn from this win? They got some really impressive stuff working downfield, found a little something-something in the passing game. Jordan Love looking better and better. Who's to say this doesn't catapult them to some phenomenal offensive kind of reawakening in the second half of the season? And again, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but who knows? We don't know. Enjoy the ride, brother. Just enjoy the ride. Jerry, how are you? Love's composure was a wonder to see. Toyotathon. Yeah, that is one of his best traits, is just how nothing, I mean nothing, seems to phase the guy. There's a rep in that game where the edge, I don't remember who it was for New York. It might have been Burns, but he just slips inside almost like lightning speed, like is in the pocket, in his lap, in Jordan's lap. And he just calmly delivers a strike downfield and converts for a first down. Like, there, how that's not a sack or at least a throwaway is incredible. But, and he's like unfazed, totally unfazed. Yeah, man, it's pretty incredible to watch. Says Kits. Can you explain the pick with Matt and the beat at Corey's? Yeah, it was a bunch of the beat writers at Corey's house, and Matt LaFleur was there. There. Explained it. It's just funny how this thing has taken on a life of its own. Yeah, no, it's something that we do every year. We have the beat over, and we do it usually towards the end of my time in Green Bay during training camp. Been doing it for, I want to say, 6-7 years, something like that. I think pre-pandemic is when it started. And then, you know, over the course of the last couple of years, I've been kind of talking to the Packers and Matt specifically about the idea being, way back in the day, like Vince Lombardi used to have drinks, cocktails with the beat every Friday night at the end of the week. And the deal was, it was off the record, right? But you get to know each other. You know, and you can be professional and you can ask the hard questions professionally, but getting to know each other and also getting information that, yes, no, you can't use on the record, but you get a very good idea of how things work. You can work, this is what I always talk about, from a place of knowledge. Bill Parcells used to do this every Tuesday. He would come in when he was coaching the Giants and he would sit down with the beat. They were having lunch and he would say, all right, what are you commies writing this week? And they would have an hour-long off-the-record conversation where they would learn about somebody struggling with something, a concept that maybe they were having issues with in practice, stuff where, oh, that guy's got a kind of a nagging injury that, you know, isn't bad enough to get on the injury report, but he's still dealing with it, etc. And these were things that helped both sides. And my whole kind of impetus for inviting Matt to that gathering was these people, they see these. I mean, if you're on the beat, you see the head coach more than you see your family. You're in the building way more than you're ever at home. You know, you should know each other. You should be able to work from a place of knowledge of what it is they do behind closed doors that you're covering as a professional. You know, and to flip it around for the team from their perspective, it's like you want the people that cover you to have at least the framework of what's actually happening on the football field rather than you're just guessing all the time. And then you've seen it. How many times have you seen it? People assume things or write and talk into microphones very confidently about what has happened on the football field that they are completely incorrect about. And then the coach or some player rightfully goes after them publicly. It's like, cut that all off at the pass. Again, let the beat work from a place of knowledge or at least an understanding of, look, these are the levels that are going on each and every play, each and every week in game planning. Just things that you're not privy to as a beat writer. But if you have a better understanding of the mechanics behind it, you might ask better questions because you're not surface level guessing. And that's it. That's the whole reason behind it. And like I said, I've talked to Matt about it a couple times. Talked to Packers PR about it. I actually am still trying to work on getting a film session with Coach where the beat gets to sit down and kind of break down film with him in the offseason and talk about concepts and why they call certain plays, sequencing of plays, you know, why they set, how they set things up early in the game to try and take advantage of certain stuff, how you see stuff on film in the game and then react to it, you know? It just helps both sides. That's it. Doing my 111th, just trying to embolden the beat, have the team be, you know, less standoffish, closed off, whatever you want to call it. I mean, that's just an NFL thing too. That's, you can look all around the league. I mean, these teams treat football like they're guarding the fucking nuclear codes. I mean, it's fucking football. Come on. Like, oh yes, your way of running cover three is a state secret compared to, well, this other team runs cover three. Like, give me a break, you know? That's it. That's the explanation of the pick with Matt and the beat at Corey's. Michael, what's going on, man? Missed you on watch party. Love was awesome yesterday. What's up with Gary? He has disappeared and comes out of the game way too often. I'm glad you brought up that last part because, you know, I was kind of wondering about that because he was in and out. And that was one thing that being at the game really kind of illuminated for me a little bit, at least as far as the substitution patterns. And I did wonder, you know, like Gary is off quite a bit and Igbari's on there and whatever. But here we go. Here are Gary's snap counts this season. 47, 43, 44, 43, 40, 47, 53, 41, 38, 39. So it's not like there's been a wild swing here with him coming in and out. But I will say, I do think there is legitimate criticism to be had regarding his kind of ineffectiveness of taking advantage of the one-on-one opportunities that have presented themselves to him while Micah Parsons is getting plenty of attention, right? That has to change. And it's not just Gary. It's everybody. It's Enigbari. It's Devontae Wyatt, who has been sadly quiet in the pass rush department since returning from injury. Now, maybe he's still dealing with that injury, and he probably is. But man, everybody along that front needs to step it up in a big, big way, especially coming after this game. This game was hard to watch in that regard. Way too many times they were just stoned when they only rushed four. Not great. Matthew, how are you, sir? Hi, Nags. Hope you're well. A win is a win, and I love it. But 24 hours on, I am concerned again about both drops, but the kicker position especially. Despite Corey's love of kickers, what is going on? Well, they finally, you know, sat down McManus after he had a setback, which they should have done probably 2 months ago. And Harvisek really struggled in that stadium. No doubt about it. You know, it's weird, too, because he was hitting like 50 yarders going one way. And on the other way, he and the operation were struggling in pregame warmups. So, you know, the side that he missed on was the side he was struggling in pregame. And I don't really ding him for the second one because it was a horrible snap and the hold got down and the laces were facing the kicker. So I suspect he'll look a lot better on Sunday against the Vikings. And in the meantime, McManus, per Matt LaFleur, is not going on injured reserve. So hopefully he just gets right and is back out there sooner rather than later. As far as the drops, yeah, the drops I get being concerned about because they've been an issue now for 2 weeks in a row. Cannot have it. Can't have it, especially on third down. The third down drops are what kill you. That's what killed them yesterday, or last year, I should say, and it killed them these last 2 weeks. No doubt. Jerry, what's up? Just dropped my phone typing this. Still one, though. Jerry, thank you, by the way, for your email. I haven't forgotten you. Just haven't had a second to sit down and respond, but I will be soon enough. Dustin, what's up, man? Forget 6-7. Packers all about 2-7. Go Pack, go. You mean 27? Like they always win when they score 27 exactly? What a phenomenon, right? Joe, what's going on, man? Watching that game was like having to drink Ultimate ABV beers for 3 hours and then being handed a carry the G at the very end. You know what? That is a perfect description.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
Yes, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. Luke, how you doing, man? I remember you saying you were going to bring your daughter to the game. Did that happen? How special was that, girl dads? Luke, don't ever have kids. Oh, wait, you already did. So Olive is a director. She's in the film program at High School of Art and Design, and they had a shoot yesterday that she could not get out of. I found this out after purchasing the tickets and getting the sideline passes and doing all the things to make it real special for her first game, and then she couldn't go. So hopefully someday soon, I will say, shout out Olive, because I texted her this morning when she was at school and I said, I hope you're giving your Giants fan friends hell today. And she said, not only was she giving them hell, she was proudly displaying and wearing her Packers sweatshirt throughout the halls of High School of Art and Design. Shout out, Olive. If I've taught you nothing else, I've taught you how to troll. I love it. Absolutely phenomenal. December King. Thank you, sir. 27 points looks good on the boards these days. Go Pack, go. Man, it's like when they get to 27, you know it's a wrap. It's kind of crazy. FMCH, what's going on, man? A win! Glad Hopper got some reps. Today's jam in honor of the win, I Am the Resurrection by the Stone Roses. Oh, good call. Man, I haven't heard that song in forever. Great call. And yeah, Hopper. I wish Hopper could play more mic and or in place of Quay Walker when he's injured rather than handing those duties to McDuffie, who I think is fine in the role he's normally in. But man, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a mystery. It feels like Hopper's reached that point that Desmond Bishop was at before he got full-time run, where it's pretty clear to everybody that Hopper should be playing, but for whatever reason, the coaching staff is like, no, we trust McDuffie. He's the vet and he's got history with the DC and blah, blah, blah. But it feels pretty clear that Hopper's the more physical athlete and the better athlete, right? Maybe, hopefully, down the stretch here, his time will come, because I do agree he should be getting those snaps, especially if Walker is out for some time. But who, I know today Matt was asked about Quay and said he's day-to-day, so we won't really have more clarification until Wednesday's injury report. Ed, what's going on, man? Had to watch Bears-Vikings while listening to the Pack. Is there a drop catchable balls algorithm? It ain't just the Packers who are dropping passes. I mean, it is part of football. You just got to overcome it. The Packers were able to yesterday. Sometimes, especially last year, they weren't able to. It's tough. Jerry, yes, I got your email. I will respond. Dustin, thank you, sir. This is a Love and Parsons appreciation post. Man, no quarrel for me, dude. Love them both. Can't believe they're on the same team. It's pretty amazing. S-Kits, what's up, man? When you say cheese curds mixed, what do you mean? Aha. Well, go to Kroll's and find out, buddy. Just say mixed. They'll know what they mean. They'll know what you mean. Let it be a surprise. Lewis, what's going on, man? Great to see the leadership of Love not showing negative emotion with all the drops. Somebody else used to be quite animated. Love his style of next play. You know what's funny, Lewis, is I think the most animated I've ever seen Jordan Love after, and it wasn't really, I don't think it was a drop. It was like a misread where I think it was Emmanuel Wilson on a fourth down against the Saints in that game, the first home opener, the home opener, his first year as a starter. He threw what looked like was supposed to be a smoke to Wilson on the perimeter, and Wilson had taken it upfield, and he just kind of looked a bit, just slightly exasperated. And like, that's the most animated I think I've ever seen him after a drop or a miscommunication like that. And that was like his third game as the starter. And since then, yeah, man, the guy's a stoic. It's crazy. Better man than me, I'll tell you that. Don Vito, what's going on? Glad we have our kicker dilemma settled. Christ. But it is kind of settled. That's the thing. It is settled now because McManus had a setback. Harvisek's in. And away we go. And once McManus is better and fully healed, hopefully, then he'll be the kicker again. It's the way it should have been a month ago. I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it. Tyler, how are you? Nags, my wonderful wife got us tickets to the game this Sunday for our 1 year. Oh, congratulations. This will be our first game in Lambeau. Any suggestions, food, beer, places? We are coming from New Jersey. Tyler, I was just in your fair state yesterday. Make sure you check out the video here on the channel. Top five things to do in Green Bay. Certainly lots to take in on a game day weekend. I will say make sure, depending on what day you're coming in, but make sure you get to everything that Titletown has to offer. Very, very important. Make sure you hit the Packers Hall of Fame. And if you're into the history of the Packers, I don't know how diehard your wife is, but I cannot recommend enough. And I do it each and every time someone asks this question. The Heritage Trail, the Packers Heritage Trail, which basically illuminates and highlights the relationship between the team and the town and where all the important stuff happened throughout the 100 plus year history of the team. Where it occurred in the actual spots it occurred throughout the city of Green Bay and surrounding areas. It's just incredible. If you are a diehard nerd like myself, it is absolutely mesmerizing to be in the spots and know that this is where certain things happened in, you know, along the lines of the Packers growing as a franchise and as an entity and along with the city itself growing. It's just very, very special. It's curated by Cliff Crystal, not to be missed. It's just outstanding. Mike, what's going on, man? Matt LaFleur just said there's a possibility of Reed and Lloyd starting their 21-day practice windows this week. Not holding my breath on Lloyd, but getting Reed back for the stretch run would be amazing. Yeah, Mike, I've been asked a lot about either one of those guys, but particularly Reed, and I've said kind of repeatedly that I thought probably Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving. But if he's ahead of that, that's obviously pretty awesome, and you're not wrong. Getting him back would be absolutely incredible. A team that's still, you know, obviously a little up and down at the receiver position. Reed has been their most productive wide receiver, and to get him back even for the last kind of month would be phenomenal. I'm not ready to get excited about it yet. I mean, Matt did say, you know, there's a possibility it happens. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. And hell, we all know with the Packers and medical decisions and getting guys back, they're usually, unless it's kicker, usually they're erring on the side of caution. So again, not hold my breath. Be very excited if it happens. Watch this space. We will see. JT, what's up? I enjoyed Carry the G last week, but I need a Carry the G IPA. One step at a time, man. We need Carry the G to become bigger and bigger and bigger. And then maybe at some point we can start making different versions and different flavors and different styles and all that. But slowly but surely, we need Carry the G to continue to grow, sir. High powered. How are you, man? Brooks and Wilson for next week. Thoughts? Yeah, that is the most likely scenario, although the news on Josh Jacobs today was certainly good in the sense that he doesn't have any structural damage to the knee. Matt indicated it's a contusion from that horrible playing surface there at MetLife. I suspect they'll probably hold him out this week, but they would only do that if, you know, that was what needed to happen for him to recover, which is exactly as it should be. But I also feel like they probably are very comfortable with Wilson and Brooks. I mean, I don't doubt for a moment that there is going to be some tough sledding against this Vikings defense at times on the ground in particular, but with a team that is as pressure oriented, and it's not just heavy blitzing all the time, lots of who's coming, who's dropping, and trying to really get inside the heads of the protection unit, I don't mind if we see a ton of Chris Brooks in this game, who has just been outstanding. I know a lot's been made of the rep he had on the 3rd and 10, where Love hits Williams down the left sideline there. But man, that's like not the first time he's done that. He does that kind of shit all the time. So I'm more than comfortable if he has to get a ton of reps in this game against the Vikings. There's zero doubt that Jordan will be protected. Let's put it that way. Ed, what's up? Just beat the Vikings equals excellent advice. I mean, there's only so much you could control. You can't even control them beating the Vikings, but at least that's the next thing, right? Like, man, you can't control any of it. Why worry about all of the things you can't control? At least focus on the next thing. That's all. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Corey's watch party reaction yesterday to both the missed extra points was hilarious, LOL. You know what? I have not seen them. I have to go back and watch them. I looked at a lot of the kind of highlight plays, but I have not seen those, and I desperately need to. You're not wrong. Lieutenant Dan, what's up? No secrets with Matt LaFleur's play calling, so drink up. Hilarious, Lieutenant Dan. I mean, I thought Matt called a really good game yesterday. But no one's talking about that, of course. But yeah, Matt was in his bag yesterday. Good stuff. Andrew Ware, how are you, buddy? Watson, dog. Love, dog. Parsons, dog. We won and you can't tell me nothing. Let's go beat the trash Vikings before I spend a week there for the holiday. Oh, perfect timing. You're going to Minneapolis the week after the Packers play in Minnesota or play Minnesota? That's phenomenal, dude. Come on. Now, extra incentive for the Packers to take out the trash. Portmaster, how are you, sir? You think Matt LaFleur will get out of his comfort zone and hand Love the keys without Jacobs? Don't think he'll have much choice, Portmaster. You kind of saw that play out a little bit, I think, yesterday, but for the most part, I think they were already kind of opening up the playbook even before Jacobs went down. I do think he's still going to try and run the ball, though. Let's not be under any illusions here. They're not going to suddenly drop back 45 times, especially against this defense. That is not the recipe for success. But I do think, yeah, you'll see Jordan, you know, operating quite a bit at the line of scrimmage, given the different looks that you get from Minnesota's defense and giving them a little bit more, maybe not leeway or freedom or whatever, but just a few kind of iterations of, all right, check with me and or let's get in and out of this as quickly as possible. I think Jordan will have some keys handed to him tomorrow or on Sunday. Soder, how are you, brother? Hell of a punt by the Irish guy. Might be the best Packers special teams play of 2025. Heck, maybe the last decade. All right, easy on the decade. But, yeah, flipping the field, holy cow. In that environment, in that wind, and that's, by the way, I was on the sideline pregame, and there were plenty of kicks from both kickers that were suddenly overhead, and people were like, look out! There were so many kicks that just ended up way out of bounds. So, yeah, to come out and hit one in an important part like that and completely flip the field, pretty damn impressive. Mark J. with a very important message here. The Bears still suck. See, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, correct. They are in first place currently. God bless them. Hang the banner. But the Bears still suck. See how this works? This is correct. The Bears are in first place. The Bears still suck. That's it. Crack the code. Well done. Jerry, what's up, man? Aaron, I hope to be as good a dad as you are. Oh, Jerry. Oh, no. I got to show that to my daughters because, woo, you and I will both get roasted for that one. Good times. Moon Gloom, what's going on, man? Love a win any way we can get it. Defensively, they're certainly effective at limiting big plays, but, man, it's infuriating to watch them march up and down. Yeah, that something I talked about with Andy on Let's Talk Football, which you can check out as soon as you're done here. It is weird how during the game it's so frustrating how teams, they being the Giants, completely following the Panthers playbook, limiting the Packers' possessions, going on very long, time-consuming drives. But then you get to the end of the game and it's like, well, the Packers really kind of, you know, did their job as far as limiting scoring. Now, the one kind of real out of character thing the defense did in this game was allow an opening drive touchdown. They haven't done that all year, right? And it allowed the Giants to operate from a place of control, at least early on, right? But for the most part, you get to the end of these games and there aren't any explosive plays and they do have to work for it. And hell, this game in particular, they had at least, what, three, maybe four opportunities to take the ball away. The ball was in their hands defensively and they couldn't close the deal until Evan Williams sealed the deal, you know? So it's like the approach is fine. You just got to make those plays. And don't forget, one of those drives in particular doesn't become one of those drives if Edgerrin Cooper just makes a fucking tackle in the open field. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but I get the approach. The guy's got to execute. The guy's got to close. I do wonder, and I kind of posited this with Andy a little bit ago. I do wonder if there's a game where Halfley goes against type unexpectedly, right? If there's a particular opponent, I don't know who it would be, but if there's one kind of offense that he's kind of circled for, oh, I'm going way off script for this one. Like tons of pressure, tons of kind of exotics, right? Various kind of iterations of like a zone blitz or stuff that you haven't done a ton of. And it's so weird because I only think of that because I'll never forget how frustrated fans would be with Fritz Schirmer. Very rarely blitz. They called him No Blitz Fritz, right? To this day, though, he's like the greatest defensive coordinator I've ever seen at 1265 Lombardi, you know? And there was one game where he kind of went against his regular MO, and that was at the year after they won the Super Bowl, Dallas came to Lambeau, and he blitzed the fuck out of Troy Aikman. And you could tell the Cowboys were not ready for it. They were shocked. They had no idea how to handle it because Fritz never did it, right? And I just wonder if there's a game on this schedule this year that, you know, Halfley has circled, like, that's the game where I'm going to unleash the hounds. It probably doesn't happen, but it is kind of funny to watch like these games where it is frustrating. They can't get off the field on third down. Teams march and take all this time. But ultimately, they don't score a ton of points and they don't have explosive plays, and points come out of explosive plays. So effectively, they're doing the job that they're supposed to do, right? It's just, yeah, I do wonder if there will be kind of that surprise game at some point. We'll see. Mike Witt, what's up, man? Really loved McDuffie's amazing PBU against his own teammate yesterday. I mean, how do you not feel bad for the guy there? You know, it's just momentum taking him into Bullard on that play, and it sucks, no question about it. But, he doesn't mean to do it. It's just a very, very, very bad kind of unfortunate break. I mean, now that they've won the game, yeah, it's fucking hilarious. And I hope Bullard gave him all sorts of holy hell on the flight back to Green Bay. But yeah, tough one. Very tough one. On Culture, what's going on, man? Victory Monday jams are Hold the Line by Toto. Oh, I love that song. LaGrange by ZZ Top. Literally just listen to this. Over My Head by King's X. And Time Has Come Today by the Chambers Brothers. Ooh, Chambers Brothers. Good pull. Simatovich, how you doing, man? Why aren't playing services standardized in the NFL? Because some owners are cheap and some are not. What's crazy is they just had the game in Madrid where they did a whole expose about how they have natural grass growing underground and then it comes out for the games and blah, blah, blah. You know, but NFL owners are like, this is too much money. I got to save it for my IMAX on my yacht. Yeah, don't get it. Woody Johnson is half of the equation at MetLife. You think Woody Johnson is paying for grass fields? Hell no. Don't get me started, man. I will say that is something, and God bless David Bakhtiari for beating this drum. That is something that Players Union could try to, you know, spearhead and or utilize as one of their demands in the next CBA. I'm not holding my breath, but that's where the power resides in your collective bargaining. You know, what's most depressing about it is being at that stadium yesterday and watching that horrible playing surface and then knowing the World Cup is going to be played in that stadium next year and FIFA demands grass fields because their players bargained for it and demanded it. And now every FIFA match has to be played on natural grass. But then once the World Cup is done, they're going to take the grass away and they're going to go back to their shitty playing surface. True story. Unbelievable. Oh, high powered. Yes, sir. Still sad seeing 33 in purple. It sucks too, man. He looks good. I said it the other day, not in yesterday's game, but whoever they played the week before. Oh, the Ravens game. Man, he was out there still destroying people in pass pro. God, and yesterday he was right there on a couple missed throws by McCarthy and looked good in the running game. Yeah, man, it sucks. It'd be one thing if it was a dude just playing off the string of his career, right? But he still looks good. He still looks really productive and look really super talented. Yeah, it's hard to watch, no doubt about it. Travis, what's going on, man? NFL is riddled with inconsistencies. Teams in power rankings aren't that impressive. It's not Thanksgiving yet. Few more weeks to get on a heater. Oh, there you go. Now, the last part. Yes, sir. It's about stacking some success and learning from things and growing and improving and finding a way and a groove and get on a heater and get into late December, early January, playing your best football. Like, God bless Huber, but he asked McCarthy. He asked Matt today, like, you know, are you a better team than you were week one? Like, they're a very different team. They're dealing with a lot of different issues. They've certainly been inconsistent. But it doesn't matter if they were great in week one. It doesn't matter if they were abysmal 2 weeks ago. What matters is how they're playing down the stretch into the playoffs. They got back in the win column, and that is legit all that mattered from that game. As far as power rankings go, I stopped reading power rankings once Dr. Z passed away. His power rankings were the gold standard. They were the only power rankings I ever paid attention to. After he stopped producing them, I stopped paying attention to power rankings. That's it. Andrew, what's up? Just Minnesota, not Minneapolis. Gotcha, brother. You know what I mean. The point still stands. VT, how are you, brother? Couldn't find you among sea of green at MetLife. It's probably because I was wearing a black Cheesehead TV hoodie. But my green Cheesehead TV Green Bay hat. And I will say, shout out to the thousands of Packers fans that were at that game. It was awesome. It was maybe not predominantly Packers fans, but it was at least 50-50. Like, there were a ton of Packers fans there. It was awesome. Chris, what's up, man? How about Brooks with that block? Got me fired up. Yeah, dude. Talked about it earlier. He was outstanding, but that's just what he does, man. That's not like abnormal or out of the kind of normal MO for Brooks. That's legit. He's been doing that for years, man. He is awesome in pass pro. Absolutely. Crystal doesn't seem to be a McGinn fan. Wow, that's so random. They used to very famously be, you know, quite the rivals back in the day. And then they had to ended up working together. But yeah, they've been, you know, professional rivals for a long time. As far as his personal feelings on the guy, I have no idea. But yeah, back in the day, that used to be the beat battle right there. Those two. That was a long time ago, obviously. But it's kind of, you know, all of that is kind of gone out the window now because Gannett bought both major papers that cover the Packers, and there's no actual competition between those two entities because now they work together. So, yeah, man, bring back the beat that hated each other. I kid. Though, man, some old Cliff Crystal post-game chats were like life That was the best stuff on earth. I always say it, and it's still true. My favorite Packers content ever created was Cliff Kristol post-game chats for the JS Online. They were out. That was just outstanding stuff. All right, buddy. I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.